Hey folks, have you ever felt the presence of evil really, really strong in your life? I mean, you just been to some place and then just all of a sudden it was like the hair stood up on the back of your neck and you just had this sense that something was not right. Think about when that was. Think about why that was. And we're going to address that in just a moment as we look at some passages out of Ephesians chapter 6 called The Armor of God. Grab your Bible and come on back. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're glad that you're here. Hopefully you've got your Bible and have a few moments that you could just pull back from the world and gather around with brothers and sisters in Christ around the Word of God. a moment ago I asked you the question, had you ever felt like you'd been in the presence of a really, really strong evil? Now, most of the people that I've spoken with have said, oh yeah, I can remember a time when it just, things did not feel right. You know, it was just something that was not right within my spirit. And most of us that are viewing tonight can probably sit back and say, yeah, I can remember exactly where I was. I can remember, you know, what was taking place. I can remember what was going on. And it just, there was something that was not right. Now, what did you do? I think that's another good follow-up question is, in the midst of that situation, realizing and knowing that it was something that was evil, what did you do about it? How did you get through that particular moment? When did that thing start to ease up? And what were the things that you did along the way to protect yourself? Now, we're going to look at that out of the book of Ephesians chapter 6. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at the armor of God. Now, as we think about armor, most of us have a good concept and a good idea of what an armor is, what it's used for. But we're going to look at the armor of God, particularly in the lives of His children, those who are born again believers. We're going to read at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. And we read, yeah. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're so grateful and so thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, that you don't leave us nor forsake us, that in the midst of the spiritual warfare that will take place in our lives and that takes place in our lives on a daily basis, Father, you haven't left us to fend for ourselves, but Lord, you have given us the way that we might be able to withstand the evil that's going to come around us, that we might be able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. So right now, Father, I pray that you will help us, that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to each and every one of us today through your word. And then, Lord, strengthen us to be able to withstand the evil that is in our presence. Lord, be with this, your speaker, as these moments that you would truly be lifted up and Lord, that you would truly draw all men unto you, as we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we think about that, we have been given some fantastic marching orders, as it were, as believers The Lord tells us that these things are going to happen. First of all, I think it's important for us to point out that there is going to be spiritual warfare in the life of a believer. It's not one of those things that is a maybe. It is something that is going to happen. If you are not seeing that in your life, there's a couple of things. First of all, I would ask that you check your relationship with the Lord. Are you a believer? Are you following the Lord? You know, Satan's not really worried about those who do not oppose a threat to him. So first of all, if you're not having those spiritual warfares, check your spiritual condition to see if you truly have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Now, for a lot of us that are watching this evening, you can sit back and you're just counting things off where there's spiritual warfare in your life. There are things that just don't seem to be going right. They don't seem to be going your way. Every time you try to do what is good and what is right according to the Word of God, and as you follow Him, there is some blockade that's in your way. Folks, Satan is trying his dead level best to destroy your testimony, to destroy who you are, to make God look bad, as it were, in the eyes of people of the world, in the eyes of your friends. And he's even trying to make the Lord look bad in your life. Because how many times have we sat back and said, well, Lord, I prayed for this. I'm in the middle of this battle. And where are you? You know, you haven't shown up. There are so many times that we've done that. Now, in the text that we read just a moment ago, Paul is instructing believers about the armor of God. Now, it's important for believers to be strong in the Lord. In verse 10, we read, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's so incredibly important to understand that you alone are not going to be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. We have got to be strong in the Lord. Now, people would sit back and say, how do I become strong in the Lord? Well, you cultivate that relationship with Him. Once you have confessed your sins before Him and you pled for salvation and you become a believer, you become a Christian, whatever term you want to put on that, the Lord says that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to get into the Word. As a believer, we have the Holy Spirit that will teach us the mysteries of the Word, the things that God wants us to know, the tools that we need to be able to put on the full armor of God and to withstand the wiles of the devil. So we have got to be strong in the Lord. Now, I know that there are probably some of you who are watching this evening that can recount a time in your life when you weren't quite as strong in the Lord as you are right now. You can sit back and think of a time when you were maybe on a spiritual high. That's not a bad thing. That's a great thing, actually. But you've also realized that there have been some mountaintops and some valleys when it comes down to your walk with the Lord. And in the midst of all the situations that are taking place, too often we try to solve them on our own, or we try to run for worldly help rather than turning to the Lord. Most of all, He wants us to walk with Him and talk with Him. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the keys, the things that we need to be able to withstand confrontations with Satan. It is so important for believers to be strong in the Lord, as we read in verse 10. Now, when we sit there and try to stand on our own against the devil, I'm just going to put it in a real, real simple way. You will lose. You cannot do it on your own. You know, I've often illustrated it in such a fashion. I said, you know, when you hear a knock at the door and you go look through the peephole and you realize that it's Satan, you realize that there are things that are ungodly, don't open the door. You need to tell God the door's for Him and you need to go sit back down, because God knows how to handle it. He knows how to take care of it. Now, when we begin to consider these passages that we're looking at and talking about the armor of God, consider that word for just a moment. Back in the days of ancient warfare, you know, armor was very, very important. You have to think they didn't have the advanced weaponry that we have today. I mean, they had everything from, you know, they had the short swords, they had swords, they had spears, they had other weapons of warfare, but it was more of a hand-to-hand combat type thing. So an armor was particularly important to help prevent or to lessen the effect of an attack on one's person. You know, obviously the enemy is trying to do you harm. So that is in regular warfare. Now let's consider for just a moment spiritual warfare. Some of you have heard that word. Some of you may have not. But there is such a thing as spiritual warfare that is going on in the lives of believers. And it is so important for you and I, as believers, to put on the whole armor of God. Now look at that verse 11. Verse 11 tells us to do exactly that. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So this also is very indicative of the fact that there is going to be spiritual warfare in your life. Now, a moment ago, I said, take a check on your life to see whether or not you have spiritual warfare that is going on. If you don't, check your salvation. Most of us that are watching tonight can probably sit back and think, oh yeah, there's spiritual warfare going on in and around my life at all times. Now, in just a moment, I want to talk about that for just a second in a way that I believe Satan tries to blind not only believers, but the whole world to the fact that that doesn't exist. That's what he's trying to do. And we're going to get to that in just a second, so bear with me. But in spiritual warfare, it is incredibly important for each and every one of us who are believers to put on this armor of God. Now remember, to put on the armor of God means that we are doing something to protect ourselves from some sort of an attack. Well, what does that mean? Let's go back to that verse 11 once again. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What does that mean? The wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil, the things that he is trying to do in our lives to create havoc and mayhem, once again, to make our Savior look bad, to make us doubt the power of our mighty God, to make us wonder, to, in some cases, make us want to walk away from following our Lord, to make our testimony look bad in the sight of other people. That's not what we want. We need to be able to withstand the wiles or the schemes that the devil is throwing at us. Now, verse 12 gives us a suggestion of something. Look at verse 12. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, to start with, this verse gives the connotation. It said, what does it say? It talks about wrestling. You know, when you think about wrestling, what comes to your mind? Now some of y'all thought about the old WWE or that sort of thing. Some of you thought about high school or college wrestling. But at any rate, whichever way you thought about it, the word wrestle suggests hand-to-hand combat. In other words, you're putting your hands on someone. You are in a battle. You are wrestling against something. You know, you are trying to take charge or take command over something. So as we think about that word, it says this. It says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, man, I could do a whole different Bible study on just that opening part of verse 12. Folks, we've got to understand something. We are not against each other as believers. Why is it that Satan has got believers so entrenched in battling one another over things that do not amount to a hill of beans, non-spiritual things? He has Christian people doing that. He has churches doing that. And it's time to make sure he doesn't win in that particular battle. Folks, when it comes down to our spiritual lives, we need to major on the major things and we need to let the minor things go. There was an expression that, and I'm going to try to see if I can get it, if I can say it right, but when it comes down to essential things of doctrine, essential things of Scripture, when it comes down to essentials, we need to be unified in the essentials of the doctrine of the Word of God. But when it comes to non-essentials, we need to be able to be somewhat diversified. Now, I look at it like this because it's one of those situations that as an illustration, I've used this for years. When it comes down to the church, the color of the carpet is a non-essential. Whether we have artificial versus real flowers are non-essentials. And yet things like non-essentials will get us so wrapped up in arguing with one another and also simply partaking in what's called the cancel culture of today. You know, today we've seen things like vaccinated versus non-vaccinated. We see all these different things that have pitted us against one another. And folks, those are non-essential things related to the gospel. And we're wrestling against those things. Now, here's what the Word is telling us. The Word is telling us that if those are things we're wrestling with, we have picked the wrong battle. The Word says that we're not to wrestle against flesh and blood. We're not to be out after our own. We're not to get caught up in the non-essential things, okay? Yeah, spiritual warfare is like hand-to-hand combat. Yeah, look, go back and look at that verse again. Verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities." Consider the list that he is getting ready to give us right now. Against powers, against rulers of darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Folks, our mankind and brother to brother is not our enemy. We have got to be aware of the invisible spiritual battle that is going on around us. Now, too many times what happens is because if we don't see it, we don't tend to believe that it's there. You know, one of the most ironic portraits and paintings that I've seen, I have it hanging in my office. It shows this young man who is a preacher, and he's standing behind a pulpit. He's got his Bible in his hand. And it shows him preaching the Word of God. And around him, it shows a lot of the saints of the Old Testament. It shows a lot of the New Testament preachers, you know, such as Paul. And they're gathered around this preacher as he is preaching the Word of God. They are supporting him. Now, I've also seen another one of those paintings where it shows like the modern day interior of a church and a pastor is preaching, and you're seeing these demonic figures that are all around within the church. It shows them sitting with people out in the congregation. It shows them, hovering in space. And it actually, there's one of them that shows an angel that is in combat with a demonic type force. Now, a lot of us would sit back and say, well, that's just, you know, some futuristic kind of thing, or that doesn't really exist. Here's what I want you to understand today. It does exist. The Word of God tells us right there in verse 12 that our battle, our struggle, our hand-to-hand combat is not with flesh and blood. It shouldn't be against our brother, but it is against. Now, let me give you the list again out of verse 12. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, there are a lot of people who would sit back and say, well, demonic forces just don't exist. Folks, if you're believing that, you are believing a lie straight from the pits of hell. There are satanic forces in and moving in and around your life for the cause of evil, to make our God look bad, to make you slip and fall, to make your testimony look bad, to do you hurt or harm. This is a very, very real thing. Likewise, the Word of God tells us that we should not be involved in things like spiritual mediums and those sort of things. We're not supposed to be trying to contact those that have gone on before us and those type things, because they're very real. Folks, you don't need to be messing with things like Ouija boards. You don't need to be doing things like seances and trying to call upon evil. Because look, as a believer, you know, I have the Holy Spirit. I don't need to mess with the evil. I'm doing the best I can day by day to follow the Lord in a way that is pleasing to Him. But I don't want you to be mistaken. Those things do exist. Yeah, mark that down, write it down. So our battle, our hand-to-hand combat is not against flesh and blood, according to verse 12, but it is against the evil forces that are in our lives, that are among us, that are around us, that are trying to do evil, trying to get us to do evil. Now, Paul uses some different words to describe those spiritual forces in verse 12. Mark that down. Go back to it. You know, those words give the stern implication that it is very real. It was in the days of the New Testament when Paul was out and about walking this earth. And it is very, very real in your day, in your age, in my day, in my age, right now, even as we're looking at this Bible study. There is evil trying to do something, and it's a battle. You know, we've got to stop that. We have got to stand strong and not go against the Lord. Remember what it said in verse 10 that we started with tonight. It says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's where we have to be strong. Now, as we do our Bible studies, one of the things that I've always asked you to do is to look for a command to obey. So what does it mean on a day-to-day basis to take up the whole armor of God? Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand." So it says, pick up your armor. Remember, armor is designed to protect us. As born-again believers, God says we have pieces of this armor that He gives to us designed to protect us from the battle, that combat that we're going to undergo for some of us on a daily basis, for some of us on a moment-by-moment basis. So, and when you think about it, Paul even calls it in that particular verse. He says, in the evil day. Folks, the day is evil right now. If you look at it, you look at what's taking place, you look at what's going on, this is a society that does not tout our Lord and Savior as something that we should follow. In fact, there's so much against godliness in this day and age. It doesn't want you to have that. It wants there to be no absolutes so that everything is okay. So when I believe when Paul talks about the evil day, he's talking about even as we speak. So then he goes on in verses 14 through 17, and he begins to give us a list of six pieces of the armor of God that he tells us that we should pick up. Now, go with me to verse 14. Verse 14 says this, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one." And then verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We begin to get a list of these pieces of armor. Now, I want you to consider each of the pieces that are listed here of a believer's armor. And I want you to think about in your life how you put those on and how you use each and every one of them. You know, for the sake of time, mark those verses down, 14 through 17. How is it that you are having your waist gird or putting on the belt of truth? Truth is important. Folks, we live in a society today that they don't want truth. They don't want truth. They don't want absolutes. You see, if we don't have absolutes, and by the way, the Bible is full of absolutes. If we don't want absolutes, if there are no absolutes, what that simply means is that everybody is right in their own mind. There's no standard by which we live. Folks, as believers, we live by the standard of the Word of God. We have a set of marching orders, and it must be the truth. So we put on the belt of truth around our waist, and it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, meaning that we're doing everything that we can do to follow the Lord, to protect us. And the breastplate protects the heart. Yeah, it keeps us from getting in places that we shouldn't be. It will stop one of the tools or weapons of evil from piercing that heart. It says that we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel is so important. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, which will provide and give peace to all those who accept. Now, that doesn't mean life's going to be easy. But, when you think about peace, man, you know, the peace is something that we're all striving for. You know, peace is something that we want in our lives. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of evil. When you think about a shield in combat, it's what you're holding there, that when one of the weapons of war are launched at you, something that you can deflect what's taking place. And God says that through His word, He gives us a shield. Now, He goes on and He talks about the word. He says, and the helmet of salvation, this is verse 17, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, in that particular verse, we see something interesting. Now, I've often alluded to this term. I said there are a lot of people today who are spiritual streakers, okay? They have the helmet of salvation. They've put their trust in the Lord, so they have the helmet of salvation, but they have never donned the other pieces of armor to protect themselves in this world. You may have the helmet of salvation on, and you may be completely unprotected with the rest of who you are against the wiles of the devil, against the evil one, against his schemes. But it also said, it also gives us a weapon. Now, if you'll notice, all those particular pieces of armor are defensive. They are designed to protect you, with the exception of one. Verse 17 gives us the only offensive weapon in which we have to fight evil. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation, again, a defensive weapon, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, a sword, you take a sword in your hand, it is not only designed to be defensive, to which you can block, but it is also designed to be offensive, by which you can attack. What is the means by which we can attack evil? It is one simple thing. It is the Word of God. If you'll think about the times in the New Testament when Jesus was tempted, Jesus always used the weapon of the Word as his offensive weapon to fight against evil. The Word of God is our offense. Are we using it? Now, why do you see, that's another reason it is so important for you and I to get into the Word of God daily, to meditate on that. Even as what we've done in our Wednesday night Bible studies, I give you 5 chapters a week. Take one of those chapters, because what you're doing at that point is you're taking the sword that God's given you and you're sharpening it up, not only to be used to defend yourself, but also to be used as your offensive weapon so that you may withstand the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Man, how important is that? Now you can understand why it is so critical that salvation not just be something that we turn to the Lord and we ask for salvation, but yet we walk with him and we cultivate that relationship, because whether you want to believe it or not, you are going to be in spiritual battles. Some of you that are watching this evening, you're in the middle of a spiritual battle right now. The question is, how are you standing against it? Do you have all the defensive weapons that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6? Are you using the only offensive weapon of the Word of God to protect yourself against that evil? You know, when we think about these things, you know, God has prepared us. He said it's going to happen. It's not one of those things that may happen. It is going to happen. And Paul talks about the evil day, as well as giving us those listing of things that we need. It's not if it happens, it's when. And for a lot of us, it's happened in the past, it's happening as we speak, and it's going to happen in the future. You're going to have those spiritual battles. So as we begin to think about that, there are unique roles that these particular pieces provide for our lives to help defend us, you know. And there's a unique role that faith plays along the way. When we consider faith, we've talked about the definition of that particularly a lot over the past several weeks. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith plays a unique role in quenching the fiery darts or those flaming arrows of the evil one. And when we consider, you know, not only do we defend ourselves, it is time to go on offense. And offense meaning using the Word of God, not in and of yourself, not what your opinion is, not what you think about something, but what thus saith the Word of God. That is what your offense is. Now, working in accord with the believer's armor, it is very, very important to realize that prayer plays a very specific role when it comes down to spiritual warfare. Look with me at verse 18. It says, praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always with prayer. How special prayer is. The opportunity to go into the presence of God, the opportunity to cry out to God, the opportunity to say, Lord, yeah, there's a knock at the door. It's evil, and I think it's for you. Let God answer the door when evil comes knocking. We must pray. Our spiritual battles must be surrounded by prayer if we're going to win them. And we also have to understand that we will not win a spiritual battle against evil in and of ourselves. Only God can do that. And we should pray. You know, we should pray and we should pray hard. Look at verse 19 and 20. You know, when we think about what specific prayer requests that Paul is asking for himself, he gives that to us in verses 19 and 20. He says in verse 19, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel." Folks, you can't make known the mysteries of the gospel if you don't know what they are. That's why you've got to be critically in the Word of God. You've got to be seeking Him. He wants to use you for His honor, for His glory, to give you the strength, to give you the boldness to open your mouth. And as Paul says in verse 19, to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Verse 20, he goes on and says, "For which I am an ambassador." Do you realize that as a born-again believer, you also are an ambassador of our Heavenly Father? And you have been charged and commanded to be able to open your mouth and to bring forth the gospel. Go back to verse 20 again. Paul's prayer for himself. It says, "For which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Not in and of himself, not what he thinks about circumstances and situations, but what the gospel message presents through the Word of God. Now, let me ask you this today. Yeah, as you've considered this, and if you're walking with the Lord, and if you've walked with the Lord for any amount of time in your life, what fiery darts of the enemy are you dealing with today? They're coming. I know that for some of you, you've been thinking about those throughout the presentation of this message. For some of you, you have just considered some, and maybe today, maybe this evening for the first time, you have realized that some of the things that you are encountering in your life are spiritual battles, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, the rulers of darkness. And now that you have identified your enemy, you need to pick up those pieces of armor to protect yourself. You need to pick up the Word of God, which is your offensive weapon, to be able to withstand the wiles of the evil one. So what fiery darts of the enemy are you dealing with today? You know, is there any piece of the armor of God that you have failed to put on today? Remember a moment ago, I said they're spiritual streakers. That means they only had on one piece, the helmet of salvation, and they had left the others out. Well, you've left yourself exposed to be able to be injured in the battle. Pick up all of the pieces of the armor of God that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. And the Word even tells us why we need to do that, that we might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil or the schemes of the devil and that evil one. So you know what we need to do? We need to pray for one another today to be able to stand strong in the strength of God's might, not our own, but God's might. And we need to make that prayer for one another, because whether we realize it or not, whether we have given a tip of the hat to the fact that there is spiritual warfare going on in our lives, whether you see it or not, it's there. I promise you, it is there. Look around, get some spiritual eyes, get a spiritual heart on what is taking place in your life. Do not let the devil win. Grab the pieces of the armor of God that you might truly withstand the wiles of the devil. Okay, in just a moment, that's what we're going to pray for. But I'm going to go ahead and give you this week's Bible readings. As always, if this is the first time that you're joining us, we just ask you to read five chapters per week in the Word of God. I don't want you to read ahead. Don't try to read them all at one time. Take one a day that you can concentrate on those and let the Holy Spirit speak to you as you read that one chapter a day. For this week, we're going to be reading Philippians chapter 2 through Colossians chapter 2. Now, I know that sounds like we're covering two different books. That's only five chapters. Philippians chapter 2 through Colossians chapter 2. And next week, we're going to look at how to rejoice in the Lord always. And our text is going to come out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. So when you get to that particular point, spend a little extra time in study right there. You know, as we go to prayer, we want to continue to remember Larry Fogelman as well as Donna Miller as they are recovering. They've had some health setbacks, but Donna is doing well. Reports on her that she is recovering well, but still has a ways to go. Larry, we want to pray that he doesn't get frustrated because his recovery is just a slow process. So please lift them up in your prayers this week. We also want to continue to remember the Gardner family in the loss of Gay. Gay went on to be with the Lord last week. We need to pray for that family that the Holy Spirit would comfort them as he's promised in the book of John chapter 14. And then also the same, I want you to pray for the family of a friend of mine named Harold Drumheller in Lynchburg, Virginia, who passed away this past week from a battle with cancer. His wife, Melissa, and I were high school classmates. And, you know, Harold meant so much to so many people. Please pray for peace for that family as well as they go through this trying time. Also, just as a reminder, Sunday school is at 9:30 on Sundays for adults and children. And Sunday school is at 10 o'clock p.m. for our middle school and youth up in the youth room. On Sunday evenings, we do have Awana at 5:30 p.m. and our youth middle school, high school meet at 6 o'clock p.m. on Sunday evenings. We're taking Sunday evening adult Bible study at this point, just week by week, since David leads that Bible study and he is still tending to Donna, who is in the hospital. But we'll keep you updated as best we can. So with that, remember, let's pray for one another. Let's pray and let's make sure that we're fighting the right battle, that we're fighting against the spiritual warfare and not one another. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we ask that you would strengthen us, that you would help us. Help us, Father, to see the spiritual warfare that's going on in and around our lives. Lord, most of all, as we see that spiritual warfare, we pray that you will help us to pick up those tools that you have given us, the armor of God, that we might truly be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, not in our own strength, but in your strength. Father, as we pray for one another, we lift one another up today and ask that you help us to be able to stand strong in the battle. Help us, Father, to be strengthened in your word and your will and in your might, realizing that we cannot take on evil alone. Only you can. God, give us everything that we need. You've promised us that, but help us to do our part to make sure that we put on the armor, that we will truly be able to withstand those schemes of the evil one, that we might be an example for you to those in our lives. Lord, just give us a great week. Send us to somebody who needs to hear about you. Send us to somebody who needs to hear that gospel message. Give us strength to be able to disseminate your word, as Paul was saying, that we might open our mouth and preach forth the gospel. Lord, we're just asking you right now to do something special and incredible in our lives and in the lives of those around us this week. And we lift our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We look forward to seeing you in the house of the Lord on Sunday.